This verse 11 of Jeremiah 29 kind of is a personal verse to me, but I'm also going to read the three verses after this verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. For I know the thoughts or the plans that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me. You shall go and pray unto me. I will hearken unto you. You shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. And then this is the first part of verse 14. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. I know that this might be a topic that some would wonder, why in the world would we talk about that on a Sunday morning? I don't know a better time to talk about it, so we're just going to look into God's Word today and ask the question, is Jesus the only way? Is Jesus the only way? I believe that the Bible tells us very clearly that Jesus is the only way. Amen. We talk about that. I know that we're living in a world that's quickly changing. Our society, our culture is changing so quickly. The way people think, they're not looking, for the most part, through the lens of God's Word. And so they're coming up with conclusions based upon human ideas, humanism, I guess you would say, secularism. And as a result, they're coming to the conclusion that there couldn't possibly be only one way. I think it was Oprah Winfrey that said that on one of her shows. I didn't watch it. I just heard that she said, there couldn't possibly be only one way to heaven in that discussion. Because when you're looking at things from a secular, humanistic, non-biblical way, then it doesn't make sense. But when you look at it from God's Word, then you can see it very clearly that Jesus is the only way. Why would we talk about this? Well, if you can trust Barna's research, Barna is a guy that researches, or he has a group that researches trends and such going on in churches in America. And his conclusion is that 68% of evangelicals believe that there are many roads that lead to heaven. 68% of evangelicals believe there are many roads that lead to heaven. There are a lot of preachers even. There are TV preachers and preachers that are out there, some of them very well known, that will say that there are other ways to get to heaven. Now, I know when you talk about all the different religions of the world, it's mind-boggling when you think about the millions of people that are in Buddhism and Hinduism and are in Islam. And it's mind-boggling, all the religions of the world. And it would be easy to say, how is it possible that all these people would believe what they believe and that they would be wrong and that they would be going to hell and not to heaven? Such a serious thing to talk about. And so we can't get this wrong. We have to be right on this. And the only way we can be right on it is God's Word. God's Word. The Word of the Lord. There's a term that's not very familiar to most of us. The term universalism, which just means that all roads lead to heaven. No matter what you believe, you're going to get there. You'll finally wind up there. God is a God of love, and so everybody is on their way to heaven. Eventually, they'll get there. They'll find truth. They're using the term now, my truth, my truth. Well, my truth is this. Well, your truth doesn't mean one thing. My truth doesn't mean one thing. The only truth that really matters is the truth of God's Word. That's all that really matters. And people will say, well, how is it all these millions of people that are in all these other religions? Well, the Bible clearly states that this is a very narrow way. Amen. Matthew 7 and 14, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Few there be that find it. It's a sobering thing to consider that there are people all over this world that don't know the Lord. That's why that we have to be involved in the work of God. That's why we must be people of prayer. We must pray for the nations. We must pray for those that are sent into mission fields around the world. We must support them financially and pray for them and do everything that we can. I've had people say to me a few times, you're a little over the top a little bit, aren't you, on missions? And I just say, oh no, not when you think about the 7 billion people that inhabit the planet. We're never over the top. We need to go further in our expanding of our outreach to a world that is in darkness, then they're lost. Because there's only one way they can be saved, and that is through Jesus. Through the message of the gospel. And so if you don't believe that, then there's kind of a domino effect. You know how kids play with dominoes? They don't play them right. They just stack them up in big long rows, and they push one, and then they all start tumbling down. It's kind of a fun game to play with dominoes if you don't know how to play dominoes. But the domino effect begins to happen if you don't believe that Jesus is the only way. Because then several things that we believe firmly in begin to be affected by that. Number one, we believe God's word is infallible. We believe that it's God-inspired. And since that we believe in absolute truth, and there is only God's word is the only absolute truth. Amen. Since we believe in absolute truth and we believe that God's word is inspired, and Jesus said himself, I am the way. I am the truth and the life. And then he goes on and clarifies, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's Jesus speaking. And that's God's word. Another verse is Acts 4 and 12. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's God's word. And so if you say there are many ways to heaven, then you are also undermining the credibility of God's word. You're saying that God's word isn't the truth. We believe that it is the truth. Not only that, but you're undermining the deity of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is truly the Son of God. He is who he said he was, the Son of God. You're undermining the deity of Christ, because if Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and that's a lie, if Jesus lies, then definitely that undermines his credibility, and he couldn't be the Son of God, and he couldn't be our Savior if he's a liar. So we know that we are attacking the Word of God. But actually, Satan is the enemy of truth. He's the enemy of the Word of God. All the way back to Genesis chapter 3, whenever he spoke to Adam and Eve and said, did God really say that? Hath God really said that you will surely die? One of the first things that Satan did whenever he attacked Adam and Eve was he attacked the credibility of God's word, what God said. And so it is a trick of the enemy to use human reasoning and to say, well, surely all these people aren't lost. Surely they're not all going to die lost. That just doesn't seem possible. That doesn't seem right. Well, Satan wants to make you think like the world thinks. He wants you to think outside of God's promise and God's word and outside of absolute truth. You see, religion is man's attempt to know God, but Christianity is God's attempt to know you and to bring salvation to you. Amen. So Christianity is not in its truest sense religion like all the other religions of the world. Christianity reveals the fact that God is seeking after mankind. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever, that's a wonderful biblical word, isn't it? Whosoever, it's in God's word many, many times, and it refers to the fact that God has opened up his heart and he loves all of mankind equally, and he is seeking after the lost. He's searching after the lost. And so that is really the nature of God. In all the other religions of the world, you have to do a lot of things. You got to jump through a lot of hoops and do a lot of different things to be saved. But whenever that Philippian jailer was about to kill himself, and Paul and Silas said, no, don't kill yourself. And they explained to him what had happened and explained to him the message of the gospel to him and to his house. And they just said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and your house. You'll be saved if you will put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Many religions of the world, including Catholicism, you have all these acts and duties and all these works that you have to do to make sure that you jump through all the hoops to be accepted. But in Christianity, you just have to put your faith in one person, Jesus Christ, and you can be saved. And you can be saved by the grace of God. And you can have hope for heaven and that your eternity. You don't have to be lost. You don't have to be hopeless. You can live a life in victory through our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. So really, I guess we could say in a sense, I said that it's exclusive. It's exclusive. The exclusivity of Christ just simply means that that's, we believe he's the only way. But we also know that in a sense, Jesus is inclusive because he says, whosoever will. Whosoever will believe upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that phrase or that word, whosoever, is repeated again and again and again and again. And there's this continual reminder to us that God is seeking after the lost. Now, to understand really about why we can believe that Jesus is the only way, we have to believe a few things. We have to understand a few things about who God is, about his nature, his character, his attributes, who he is. We need to, first of all, be reminded of the fact, and I talked about this in a service recently, and that is God in his very nature is good. God is good. God is good. That is the nature of God. Psalm 119:68, thou art good and doest good. Psalm 100 verse 5, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, his truth endureth to all generations. Psalm 86 and verse 5, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. And I'm just reading a few. There's so many wonderful verses of scripture that describe our Lord as good. That's his nature. That's his character. That's who he is. Adam and Eve, they sinned. And it was God that came looking for them. They're hiding in the garden. But it's God that is seeking the sinner. They have sinned and now they've run and they're hiding themselves. But it's God that's saying, where are you at, Adam? Where are you at? He was seeking after them. That's the nature of God. He is good. He is a seeker after those that are lost. God loves those in India and Africa that are in Hinduism and Islam. He loves them as much as he loves you and me. God so loved the world. God so loved the world. And he's plenteous in the mercy to all of them who call upon his name, no matter where they are, what religious system that they're locked up in. God loves them. Amen. Luke 19 and 10, it says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. The Son of Man is a seeker. He is seeking after the lost. And I believe that any man, any woman, anywhere, no matter what system of belief that they might be entangled in, anywhere in this world, If they call upon God, that God will reveal himself to them.
Amen. If they will call upon the Lord, God will reveal himself to them. Let me read you a verse from 1 Samuel 2. There's a lot of scripture that I'm going through here. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 27. There came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Did I plainly appear into the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? What is he saying? He said, while you're down there locked up for hundreds of years in Egypt and all that paganism, while you were down there, didn't I plainly appear to your fathers? And didn't all of Egypt see the glory of God? Did not they all witness the hand of the Lord at work on your behalf down there in that heathen land? I believe that God is at work in heathen lands. That's why we should pray. We should pray for all the nations of the world. We should call upon the Lord, not just for the missionaries that are there, but pray for those that are bound in darkness, that God would open their eyes, that God would cause them to cry out to the Lord. Psalm 98 and 2, the Lord hath made known his salvation, his righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. Glory to God. It doesn't matter where they are, how far they are away from God, that if they will call upon God, I do believe he's a seeker. And he's seeking those that are willing to say, Lord, I don't know who you are, but I know that you're a God that's there. The heavens have declared the glory of the Lord. They see it in creation. They see it all around them. And so they cry out to God. And as soon as they do, God will reveal himself to them. Hallelujah. More verses. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and the unrighteousness of men. That just simply says that God is going to judge the wicked. But then verse 19 says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Amen. That whenever they look to God and they cry out to God, God will work. God will move supernaturally to send help to them, to bring answers to them, and to reveal himself to them. Now to our text in Jeremiah 29. Then shall you call upon me, you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. You shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. Glory to God. No matter who you are, no matter how far away from God you might be, just like Cornelius. Cornelius wasn't a Christian. Cornelius, it says he was a devout man. It says that he gave alms. You know, he had some good qualities about him. But he was a seeker. He prayed to God. He was seeking after God. And God stirred up Peter in the middle of his prayer time and said, go to Cornelius' house and preach to him the gospel. Amen. And that's exactly what happened after Peter argued with him a little bit. He argued with him about it, about going to the house of a Gentile and preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. But finally, he obeyed the voice of the Lord. He goes to Cornelius' house, and Cornelius and all of his house hear the gospel and are saved and are filled with the Spirit. Glory to God. God does a mighty work. I do believe that God is working around the world. Amen. He is working around the world. And we may think, oh, God's so limited. God, you know, here we are, all those millions of people that are all locked up in Islam and all that. Oh, don't ever think that they are forgotten of God. They are not. They are not. God is working in Islam. He is working in Buddhism. He's working in Hinduism and all the various other religions of the world. You can be sure that God is a seeker, and he's seeking after those that will turn their heart toward him. Hallelujah. So that's a firm conviction that I have, that those that are seeking after God, God will reveal himself to them. Glory to God. There's so many wonderful stories coming out of the Muslim world. countless stories of people who are having dreams of Jesus. Dreams about Jesus. There's a book you could pick up called The Persian Springs by four Iranians who were in despair and hopelessness and in despair of their own lives and really at the end of themselves. And they began to pray. They didn't even know who they were praying to. They were just calling out to God, God, if you're there, Lord, would you reveal yourself to us? They begin to have dreams and revelations of Jesus Christ. This is a very common thing. If you do much research on this at all, it is a very common thing for them to be dreaming about Jesus, to be dreaming about the gospel of Jesus Christ, not fully understanding it, but they do. They dreamed about it and had a revelation of Jesus Christ. And of course, the book tells that they all eventually came to the Lord, and God sent them and sent people to them to preach the gospel to them, because they were seekers. They wanted to know God. They were desperately longing to know God. Ravi Zacharias, many of you listen to Ravi Zacharias, tells the story about going to a seminary to speak. And they said to him, listen, come, we want you to meet this young man. And so they bring this young man to Ravi Zacharias. They said, this young man was raised up in a Muslim country. 99% of the nation wasn't Muslim. He said, I was in the military and they taught me to kill mercilessly. They had taught me, like the Taliban and all these different groups, they had taught me to kill. And he said, the other thing they had taught me to do is how to make fake passports. He said, every night for 7 years, I had dreams about Jesus. He was so disturbed about it. He didn't tell anyone, but finally he talked to his own mother and said, 7 years every night, I'm dreaming about Jesus. And she became afraid because she thought, if your brothers or anyone that's in the military, they're so ruthless, they'll kill you if you tell them. So you need to just get out of the country. And so he did. He made his escape from that Muslim nation. He went to a nation, and one of the first people that he met in that nation was a businessman who was a born-again Christian who talked to him and told him about Jesus. And he led him to the Lord. That young man eventually made his way to the United States and was called into the ministry and was at that seminary where Ravi Zacharias was speaking. And he was at that seminary preparing to go back to his homeland to preach the gospel to that Muslim nation. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Ravi Zacharias asked him, well, you're going to go back there. And how in the world are you going to get back there? He said, they also taught me to make fake passports so I can get back in there. Amen. Read it. Research this for yourself. It's the truth. There are so many Muslims having a revelation of Jesus come to them and stirring up a desire to know him. And then God is working in their lives to bring them to a place where they can know Jesus. They can know the gospel. They can be truly born again. Hallelujah. And thank God for those brave men and women of God who go in those Muslim countries and preach the gospel, putting their life on the line every day. Do you know there are many, many missionaries in Northern Korea where if they're caught, they're going to be shot on the spot? There are many missionaries that have put their life on the line, and they're there right now, and they are giving their life to spread the gospel in that godless place. Oh, thank God that Jesus so loved the world that he provided a way that men can be saved. And we believe it's only through Jesus Christ. Amen. And shall you call upon me, you shall go and pray to me, and I will hearken unto you. God hears the prayer of the heathen. He hears the prayer of the Muslim. He hears the prayer of those who have never, in this country, who have never really even heard about Jesus. But he hears the prayers of those that need to know Jesus. Let me give you a few more verses. Deuteronomy 4 and 29. For if thou thence shalt call upon the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. God is a seeker, And he wants to be found of you. If you're seeking after God, he is available. He so loved the world that anyone, whosoever believeth upon him, can be saved. Hallelujah. Acts 17 and 26. And if made of one blood, all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth. And it determined the times before appointed, or he determined when they would live. And then he said, and the bounds of their habitation. He determined when they would live and where they would live. You see, this is a wonderful thing. We were born in America. We can hear the gospel all the time and anytime that we want to. And anybody in this country can. But God has put people in nations at this particular time, at this particular season, this time, and put them where they are, because God's plan is much bigger than you or I can even comprehend. But God so loves the world. He loves the Arabs, the Iranians. He loves those that are steeped in Islam and all of those nations, those Middle Eastern countries. He loves them. He's put them where they are at this particular time because his plan is great. And his plan is to reveal himself to them. Amen. That they should seek after the Lord. If haply they might feel after him. And find him, though he be not far from every one of us. You think, oh, they're in such darkness. They're so far away from God. But God is just that close to them. Hallelujah. All they have to do is say, God, I don't know who you are, but I want to know you. And he's just that close. And he will reveal himself to them. An African tribe, I read about this little African young man that was stolen away from his father, who was the chief of a tribe, because another tribe felt like that his father owed them much money. Whether they did or not, I don't know. But they captured this young boy who's 14 years old, and they beat him every day. They had tied him to a stake, and they beat him every day. A few times they allowed the father to bring some gifts and some money and to see the little guy for just a little while, but they refused to release him, continuing to beat him every day. Finally, this boy, 14 years old, in desperation, he's so desperate, he begins to ask God to let him die. He just begins to pray, God, just let me die. God, just let my life be over. Let me die. I can't suffer this anymore. And suddenly a bright light shone directly upon him. That bright light that shone upon him, and a voice that said to him, run. And he looked at his arms, and the ropes were loosed. And so he stood up and he ran with all of his might. He spent days in the jungle until finally he comes to a farm. And on that farm, yes, those people were Christians. And that boy who had cried out to God, have mercy upon me in this situation, this tribal boy, heard the gospel for the first time and was saved. And they told the story about how a man that had come from New York and had preached the gospel to us, and that village and that those farmers had been saved. And so he determined that he wanted to go find this man in New York. So he goes down to the coast where the ships are taking off, and he tries to get passage and employment on one of the ships, and they all say, no, there's no place for you. We have no place for you. And while he's standing there, one of the men come up and say, one of the workers comes up and say, I'm sick, I can't go. Get someone else in my place. And so he takes this young man. By the way, this young man, and you can read about this, his name is Kabu. This young man goes on that ship to New York City, and after a while, he finds the missionary that had come, who's now running a mission in New York City. This is in the late 1800s. He begins to work with him and serve with him and learn. He's discipled by this man in the things of the Lord. And finally, this man sends him, this is in the late 1800s, to Indiana, to a place called Taylor University. And at that time, it was a ministerial school, like a lot of the universities were 150 years ago. And so he goes there to train. He influences so many people. He wins so many people to the Lord that they name one of the dorms, the men's dorms, they changed his name to Samuel Morris. They gave him an English name, Samuel Morris. So you can read the book, you can look it up. I'm telling you the truth. Samuel Morris was that little boy that cried out to God, and he saw a light shine down on him that broke him loose from that bondage. As he ran through the jungle for days and finally meets people who preach the gospel to him, and he becomes a soul winner for Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Now, there are a lot of untold stories that we've never heard. But one of these days, we're going to be in heaven. And heaven is going to be made up of a lot of testimonies. This is what God did for me. This is how God worked for me. This is how he brought me out of Islam and out of Hinduism. This is how God worked in my life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I believe Jesus is the only hope of the world. I believe that God is good and God is just, and he's not sending people to hell who have not had opportunities. He is sending his messengers, and he's revealing himself to people who are calling upon the name of the Lord. That's what the scripture says. If you call on me, I'll hear you. I'll answer you. I'll come to you. I'll provide for you. Of course, the most famous verse is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Glory to God. What should we do? We should ask the Lord, Lord, how can I be involved in taking the gospel to those who have never heard the message? Amen. I've said this recently. I believe with all my heart that over the process of time that God is opening the doors in North Korea, just as he did in the early 90s in Eastern Europe and Russia and in many places around the world. God knows how to open doors. God knows how to hear the cry of his people and to send the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. And he loves them, and he loves you too. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's bow our heads. If there's even one person here today, you're not serving the Lord, you're not walking with the Lord today, and you know that God is calling you and that he loves you, you see, it's your decision. He's given to you a free will to do with your life what you will. He's given to you the choice to make today. If you're not a Christian, if you're not sure of where you stand with the Lord, if you've not committed yourself to the work of God and to the plan of God in your life, you need to do that today. You need to let the Lord help you. Amen. He is searching for you. He is waiting for you. He is ready right now to help you, whatever your need is. So if there's anyone here today, you're not a Christian, or maybe you've just strayed away from the Lord, you know that today Jesus is seeking after you. He is reaching for you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Lord, we do thank you for that. Lord, we thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's changing lives all around the world where people will reach out in faith. We thank you for that.